The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number two on a What Are the Odds Wednesday, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975, you can text the show, know the number for that, you can watch us on Twitch, and if you miss the first hour, pretty sportsy, and political odds, which is always fun.
But now we're going to talk about beer.
And there's... That's a good thing.
That's always a good transitionary topic.
For those of you
who
don't think we're versatile, we're going to talk a little bit.
But this isn't just about beer. This is about, you know, making change in the world, and that's what we all like to do. We'll start out with just beer, though. Marcus Baskerville from Weathered Souls Brewing in San Antonio, Texas, one of my favorite breweries, joins us on the program. And I just re-upped my membership last week, Marcus. So I'm locked in for another year of your goodies, my friend.
That sounds like a good thing to do.
Yeah, it was a very wise choice.
It's going to be fun for this upcoming year.
I know this year, 2020, I mean, it's been a crazy year for everybody. But it has to have been the craziest year in your life, because you went from having a small brewery in San Antonio that, you know, maybe some locals were catching some buzz about, and to having a brewery that literally everybody in the entire country was talking about. How crazy has the last several months been for you?
It's been absolutely insane. Especially with the reception that Black is Beautiful has brought on for us. It was definitely unexpected, dealing with when we first launched it and the reception that it was going to get. So to be able to, like, have, you know, 1,150 plus breweries and over 23 countries involved in this, it's amazing to see.
Did you have, like, what was your goal? What was your hope when you came up with this? How many people did you think you could get involved?
So my original goal was about 250 breweries.
Isn't that insane? I mean, and you said 1,150. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so we're over 1,150 at this point.
That is unbelievable. Okay, so here's the question that I was curious about. Obviously, for people who don't know, all the proceeds from Black is Beautiful are going to charities, and I guess it's up to each brewery what charity they're going to go towards, but it's all for social change or you know, for Black centric charities. Do you have any idea how much money overall has been raised because of this beer, or is that something that you just won't know for you know, any, like, maybe a long time?
I'm hoping to get a more accurate number soon. As breweries are releasing the beer, we did send out a survey so individuals could kind of start letting us know exactly how much they've contributed so far. But the initial numbers is already over a couple million dollars.
Over $1 million. And that's got to feel good for you. I mean, I know you're not in it for the pats on the back, but this was your brainchild. And as if you thought 250 breweries were going to do it, I guess in a million years, you wouldn't have thought that you'd be raising $1 million for charity this year.
Yeah. To be able to see that and see the amount of breweries that are involving themselves, we're definitely making history. I mean, you look at the aspect of this, of 1,100 plus separate businesses are providing commerce to support social justice and equality and fight racism. And we've never seen that in our lifetime, where this many businesses have joined one individual cause to fight racism. So the fact that the brewing industry is the one to do it, and I can leave that, I mean, you know, it's absolutely great. But, I mean, to be able to say we're making history, you know, that's something in itself, like we're literally making history.
Now, I did some work to collect a few of these that, and I haven't had my little. I'm gonna try to drink as many of them as I can in one night and just get wrecked. But I was able to acquire about 30 different breweries' versions of this beer, and I've
tasted. You've been putting in work.
Yeah, and I've tasted a handful outside of that. But I know you've probably gotten your hands on a lot more. How many different versions have you tasted, or do you have in your possession that you plan on tasting?
So I am on a dry September right now, so I haven't had any in a while. But I want to say so far I've probably sampled up to about 15 to 20 of them, you know, with the staff and different stuff like that. And then outside of that, we are actually going to be hosting a share soon. October 3rd, we're hosting a share at the brewery where we'll be presenting all of the Black is Beautifuls that have been sent to us over time and go ahead and be able to share them with the locals and people that travel down to be able to try them.
Well, I think it's unbelievable what you did, dude. I appreciate it. I just appreciate your beer in general. You've been making some really killer beer the last couple of years, but I think this is just such a great thing that so many people have gotten involved with. And where's the money gone that you guys have raised from your particular your brewery, from your brewery's version?
So we are releasing ours. We've actually donated about $33,000 already to the 100 Black Men of San Antonio.
Okay. And, you know, there was a lot of breweries that I talked to when I was making my search for a lot of these. And I got them from, I think, almost every brewery that's released it so far in the Houston area. I've got some from. But there's a couple breweries who were like, you know, we decided to wait a little while. And the guy from, I went to Bend, Oregon, and the guy at Ale Apothecary was saying he put it in a barrel. He's like, I wanted to wait a little while, give it some time. That way this thing doesn't just die out, like, you know, after a couple months. This thing keeps going and going. So, I think this is something that you're doing that is not only having a great effect right now, but I think is gonna really raise some money and some open some eyes for people for years to come, possibly.
And that's what we're hoping, you know, that this is something that continues to bring the message out, continues to keep people talking, continues to bring on conversation. And we know that there's going to be some bourbon versions coming out, whiskey versions coming out, you know, different things like that. So definitely the message is going to be continued to be pushed over the next few years.
All right, man. Marcus Baskerville from Weathered Souls Brewing, the brewmaster down there and creator of the Black is Beautiful Beer Project. Appreciate the time. Appreciate everything you're doing. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next time I'm down in San Antonio, man.
Yeah, appreciate you, AJ. Let me know the next time you're coming down.
All right. Take care. Unbelievable. Over $1 million that thing's raised. Over $1 million. Good for them.
And I haven't...
A beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a great concept. And there's a couple of places I need to get over and try their versions. Obviously, they had it at... they had Carbox is on tap right now. You can go get it at Carbox, yep. Version of it. And
I think St. Arnold's just came out. So,
I have to do... I haven't been going to the breweries really since the COVID started, but I really need to do hit up St. Arnold's and Sigma and True Anomaly and all those places here this weekend and just get caught up on them. But 713-780-ESPN is the number if you want to text the show. You can get us on Twitch, and I'm be real interested to see. I think that's really cool that some guys are waiting. And the idea that you're going to have barrel age and things like that, hopefully it keeps us going for a while.
Yep.
And it's not just that's one of my, I don't want to say complaints, but it's one of the things that comes up so much where like something happens that everybody gets behind it for a week and then they just drop it.
Right.
So I hope it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case here. Hey, can I do my, do we have time for my non-pedo positive Rona update of the day?
I would say we do.
Because... things continue to, we had a bad day yesterday.
Okay.
1800.
Oh, that's not good.
So that spiked almost 800 cases from the day before, but the overall trend continues to go down. The weekly trends continue to go down. We had two bad days this week in terms of, you know, so far, but everything else is really flat. And like I said, we had our lowest day in years on the 8th. So,
lowest day in years?
Well, since it, since it started. It feels like years. Come
okay,
on.
All right.
Just do the show, bitch. We got to get Do the Show, Bitch t-shirts, man.
Maybe so.
Yeah, that's got to happen. That's got to happen. Especially now that they're on Barstool and Outkick.
They've become very famous.
Yep. So.
Well, I mean, Late Hits should do that.
Yeah, that's
late,
what I'm saying.
They should have Late Hits shirts.
They should.
Say, do the show, bitch.
Yeah. I think that's I think that is definitely a
that may be the move.
A moneymaker. I mean, they already do masks. Do that's it. Do Late Hit masks.
They already have Late Hits
but
masks.
But do ones that has Late Hits. Do the show, bitch.
I feel like maybe that'll work. Maybe that will work. I don't know.
I think it's a good idea. That's spinning off my non-pedo positive Rona news.
Yeah.
Which wasn't as positive today, but you know, we're doing the best we can. Niners Greg says all that has to say is that alcoholics are not racist. How many times have you heard a drunk person say, "I love you, bro"? I'm that drunk person. Go team alcoholics.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but you probably hang out with cool people. There are drunks who get mean and want to fight and get racist when they do that.
That happens.
So, all right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Blitz, on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 703-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. The callers have not distinguished themselves today. We had two calls, two keyboard cats. So we'll go with Twitter and Twitch in the text line. Good luck. Hey, birthday shout out. Our buddy Rogelio, who is a longtime Blitzer and a real good friend. It's his birthday today. He's officially old. We're all officially old. There's a couple of things that I wanted to get to. We've always talked about how like Vegas has always been the king of betting. Did you see what New Jersey did in a single month? $668 million in wagering.
So my Hey Man Bleep that yesterday was, of course, about the airline telling me they care when they don't, which is fine.
Right.
But my other Hey Man Bleep that was going to be Colorado just legalized sports betting, and it just kicked in, I think, July 1st. So every billboard, every radio station is download the BetMGM app or download this app, download the DraftKings app because we can do it now. And after that and being surrounded in a state full of it and seeing the New Jersey news, I just wanted to Hey Man Bleep that because the government won't let us bet on sports. That was
garbage.
My backup.
I was thinking about that today, like the fact that I have to, like, because I had to find a new sports book online because mine is going away. It's vanishing, at least for Americans. We're no longer going to be allowed to play. And I've used the same book for over 12 years. And I was like, man, that sucks because it's kind of my go-to thing. And I've got multiple outs. I have accounts at other books, but this was like my main site that I trusted. I felt comfortable putting large amounts of money into because I always knew they were going to pay. It's never been an issue. And now I've got to change it up. And I was thinking about that because I Google searched like a forum, like for where people were talking about reliable sports books. Where should you put your money? Where is a good play? Who's got the best odds? This and that. Who's got the best payouts? And there were so many people in there that were like, well, I don't use an offshore book anymore because I can just go up into a window and it's like playing the lottery. When you hit, you go up and you give them your ticket and they pay. It's like a Vegas counter. And I'm like, why can't we have that? Why has it got to be difficult? Why do I have to get a Bitcoin wallet to feel safe putting money and taking money out of a sports account? Why can't the government just regulate it, and they'll make a little. They'll get a little taste.
Of course, they'll get a big taste.
Like, are we really that? It's like, I mean, Texas. It feels like, I get that we're a red state, but do we have to be a dinosaur state? Do we have to be like, well, you can't sell beer on Sundays until noon? I mean, are we not past that? It's like we live in this weird biblical era where somehow it's a sin to buy cooking wine at 11:30 a.m. on a Sunday. And much less gamble. And I get part of why we don't have like casino gaming is because the lobbyists from these other states, every state that touches us has lobbyists paying our government to keep legalized gambling out. Because guess what? Guess what kind of states surround Texas? Poor states. So when you go to the casinos in New Mexico or Oklahoma or Louisiana, guess what you see? You see a casino parking lot filled with Texas license plates because people in Texas have disposable income that they can go gamble. So, but, you know, the government, I understand at least why they don't put sports betting. Why?
Well, to me, sports betting and weed are the two things that, you know, the lobbyists from the other states have not been doing that. I mean, they're keeping the casinos out. Okay, that's fine. But those two things, why not? How about we make some money for our state? I know we're doing better than all those other places. So, fine. If little old lady wants to go play slot machines and has to drive across the border to do it, I'm fine. But for those of us who would like to, you know, be able to... Yeah, and I have the same problem with horse racing here because I can't bet online legally in the state of Texas, which makes no sense. So I have to either go to the track or I have to use my offshore accounts, which is what I do. And I'm very happy with my offshore accounts, but you know, at some point it would be nice to have it here locally, to have, you know, to have a BetMGM app or whatever where I can just get on there and say, you know, here, boom.
And and obviously, like it, but it is an issue to find. And you've been on sites before where it's a pain in the ass to get paid out.
Oh, I Bovada is the worst. I will never use that site again. And I mean, I've had checks bounce from them. I've had deposits into my account bounce. I had one time where I hit one of those Belmont tickets. I hit was there. It was like almost $4,000. It took them. The only way I could get money out was via a check from Singapore.
And then your bank looks at
and
it
my
like,
bank. My bank had to hold on to it for 2 weeks before I finally got the money. So from the time I hit the bet till the time I got the money was almost 2 months.
I had that happen once, and I want to say maybe it was BetUS or something like that. But I got the check, and it was a money order from some weird country.
Yeah.
And my bank was like, "We will take this." I had to move money from my savings to make sure there was enough money in my checking account to cover the check if it bounced.
Yeah.
So I had to like literally make a bank transfer from my savings to my checking, and then I had to leave it all in there until that check cleared. And it's absurd. And whatever you've got, like even a trusted book, even the book that I've had for a long time that I don't have anymore, even though that was always nice and easy, nothing is easier than taking your ticket to a window and having them hand you money, dollars. That's the easiest, and that's what it should be.
Yeah, or just to have it in your account and it can go immediately to your checking
PayPal
account.
PayPal or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, I'm happy with the books I have. And I have my bookie and I have BetUS Racing and I use both of those.
But it doesn't change the fact that it should be legal.
It should be legal.
You shouldn't have to have a book that you like.
Yeah, but since it's not legal, then I'm fine with this. And, you know, but ideally it would be. And I think at some point, and people asking about, is Louisiana kicking money over here? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
All the surrounding states pay our politicians to keep casinos out of Texas. And somebody mentioned the one in Eagle Pass. I know there's some native casinos here.
Yeah, that's on Indian ground.
Yeah, but it's also, I think you have to say native ground now.
Native ground.
Or you'll get canceled.
They also don't have blackjack. They've got, you can play poker, and you're playing poker at a table where 80% of the people at the table are speaking Spanish, and there's no like house rules that say you can't speak Spanish, which made me a little uncomfortable to play because guess what? I don't speak a whole lot of Spanish.
Where was that?
At the one in Eagle Pass.
They have a poker room?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, they have a poker table.
Okay.
And then there's like a million slot machines. That's what their casino is. It's a slot machine room.
Hmm. So, but
yeah, I was like, we play poker there, me and my cousin's husband. And, you know, we were the only white guys at the table, and there was a lot of Spanish being thrown around. And I looked at the dealer and I was like, can we get English only at the table? Because in the United States, it's a generally accepted rule that it's English only at
and
the table.
And in Europe, too, believe it or not. And in
really?
Canada. You can't even, like, even in Montreal, I mean, you can speak French there. That's the only place. But everywhere, that's the standard.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So would it be possible to get a Texas state representative on air and ask them these questions about what it would take to allow it here in the state, gambling, weed, and drinking rules to change? I would love to do that. It would have to be somebody who's, we'd have to have a Republican on because, you know, they're both going to just lie.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what good it would do, but I'd like to hear why. Well, I already know why. We know why that we don't have casino gaming, but I don't know why we can't talk about sports betting and things like that. And Chuck, no, it was multiple banks. So it wasn't my bank. And you know, good for you if it's working for you. You know, maybe they fix things, but yeah, you can't bounce two payments to me and expect me to ever use your site again. I don't care who you are.
Yep.
And that's never happened with I've never had anything but good luck with my bookie and BetUS. So I'll stick with them. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in on the text line. You can do that. Get in on the Twitch. You can do that. And you can always tweet at us as well. And we got a lot of other stuff to get to. We barely scratched the surface, and we're only halfway through the show.
Boy, I got to tell you about TGS. And I got an email today from Graham, who works here. Graham is a sales guy who works here. And he was like, you know what? I finally checked out TGS. And guess how much money Graham saved? Now, Graham is he's a very wealthy man. He lives in a palace, I assume. I've never been to his house, but I assume it's a palace. $2,600. Is what he saved on his homeowner's insurance. That's annually. So, I mean, you're talking about massives. Over the course of a decade, you're talking about saving over 25 grand. Isn't that wild to think that money could be back in your pocket? And, guys, I saved over $1,000 annually. It's just sometimes there's crazy numbers that you wouldn't believe how much you're overpaying, and you could be saving that money with TGS. And it's really so simple. You send a text. You text the word money to 232323. They'll send you a text asking for your address. You reply back. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage in 15 seconds or less. It's so easy. Do it now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving huge today with TGS insurance.
No masterpiece. Ten bad babs and they after me. One bad bag look like a masterpiece. Looking for a dunk like an athlete.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So it appears that this OBJ trade stuff is actually about to happen. Or at least it's being talked about. That the Browns are ready to move him. Would you like to hear some of the teams?
Sure.
If
you don't give me the teams, we're going to have to fight. Give me the teams, bitch.
I don't know that. Where it's one game into the season, AJ.
Okay, all right. Who are the teams, Fred? Who could? Who?
Well, these are the teams from Sportsnot.
Texans are willing to give up everything. They're willing to trade Laremy Tunsil and 3 first round picks for OBJ.
This is Sportsnot's most likely trade scenarios. New England Patriots.
almost a zero chance of that, I would say.
Why do you say that?
I think that with Cam there, they're not looking to bring in. It's not like the Tom Brady locker room. It's not like where they feel like no matter what you put around Tom Brady, everything's going to be okay. I think you're going to see Bill Belichick tighten up on what kind of players they bring around.
See, I think it's the Bill Belichick locker room.
I don't.
And
Well, I mean, you might be right, though. You might be right.
And I think if he thinks it'll make the team better, just like with Randy Moss, I think he'd consider it. They really have nothing in terms of receivers except Edelman, and he's, you know.
But here's the other thing I would say. I mean, are they going to give up? What are they going to give up?
Well, you're not going to get much for the guy at this point.
Right.
You can forget about getting a first round pick. This is. I mean, you're going to be lucky to get a fourth, I think.
I think the real problem is that Belichick can't sit down and talk with him and tell him, hey, you're coming into my locker room. You're going to behave. Because he's not allowed to. Like, if he were a free agent, that'd be different. But
right.
Because it's a trade, he can't sit down with Odell and talk to him and say, look, are you going to play it my way or not?
But could you, I mean, I could see them giving up a low pick, bring the guy in, and if he Antonio Browns it, he's gone the next week. I mean, Belichick's not going to mess around. And I mean, and you make it a conditional pick, so if something like that happens, you don't give it up. Or you give up a seventh, which nobody cares about. I mean, the seventh is to everybody else is what a first-round pick is to the Texans. It's meaningless. San Francisco, which they already made one offer on him at one, or they made a bigger offer. Excuse me, they made a bigger offer to the Giants ahead of last season. New York didn't want to trade him in the NFC, but they could use him.
Yeah, certainly.
And they've made some big trades, so there's that one. A team that always comes up and never goes and gets receivers: the Eagles.
Won't happen.
Yeah, I could say
because they never go get receivers.
Green Bay
would make sense.
Put them opposite Devontae Adams.
Boy, that'd be a nice little pairing. I kind of thought
OBJ and Jarvis Landry would be a nice little pairing. So, and finally, I still can't get used to seeing Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that's a thing.
But Las Vegas Raiders.
I
mean, they also took a chance on Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but they just drafted a guy that they believe is a future number one receiver. It's probably not worth the hassle for them.
Yeah, I mean, Henry Ruggs, I think, has a great future. But Terrell Williams is already out for the year.
Yeah.
So, and Ruggs is not going to, I don't think he's going to be that year one.
But is Odell Beckham that year right now? I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't know if the guy can. I don't know.
Is Odell Beckham still a baller? I think is the real question.
And that's why you get, and that's why you're not going to get much for him. So, and yes, I get your jersey number two jokes, guys. I get it.
Can you explain it to me? He'll crap all
over his new team. I get it.
Can you explain to me the?
No, I can't, Mr. Pooh Buddy. I actually have a poo related gem of the day just for you.
Oh, because
I know
sweet. You're
a huge poo fan.
I am huge.
Oh, I got to make sure you didn't.
My favorite thing is finding it in the trash can in our bathroom, which happens very regularly.
Yeah, that seems to happen to you more than it does me because I've been trying to avoid that one.
Avoid the bathroom?
Yeah, I go to the one on the second floor.
Oh,
or the third floor.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not gonna go downstairs to pee.
Well, not in the middle of the show, no. But if I'm here beforehand or after the show, I'm not using that one because those other ones are clean.
I mean, maybe that's where I should be. Maybe that's what I need to make the move.
Well, it's you have no real choice when the show's going on because that's too far to go during a break,
right?
And you just want to go out the hallway. But yeah, before and after, I definitely go there because the one on the second floor. Well, it's disgusting when all those kids are here. Well, there's no kids there now.
Okay. So
it's nice and clean. And, yeah. Steven says, you mean Odell isn't taking the Browns to the Super Bowl?
It is funny that he's on the Browns.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be funny if I were a child, but okay, it's still funny.
Yeah, it's still funny. Come on. It's just, it's okay to embrace the fact that some things that are really childish are still funny.
Yeah, it happens.
You guys calling people a bitch on air. That to me, that's still funny. I'm sorry. Mr. Poobody is funny to me. Browns jokes, number two joke. I still find it funny. And yes, if that makes me a child, so be it. I was curious. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The story about how with D'Antoni gone, the Rockets are planning a, quote, culture reset.
Right. Which is what I told you the other day. And here's the you don't understand. The code is culture reset means they're hiring a black guy.
Okay. Because I was just kind of curious what the hell that
means. It means they're hiring a young black guy. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's fine. I as long as he's qualified. My biggest fear is they're going to hire Tyronn Lue, who I have zero faith is a good NBA coach.
I'd rather him get somebody who's up and coming. And
I'd rather him get Sam Cassell.
Yeah. There you go. There's a guy who I think could. I mean, I don't know how any of these guys are going to do. And honestly, it doesn't matter. You're just reshuffling things. If it's just Westbrook and Harden and new pieces and a new coach, we're going to be talking about the same things next year. It's just, and I think that's one of the things that was my column today is about how I think the teams have sapped all the hope out of the fans. And the Texans, I think, and we were talking earlier about reasons why people might not be watching the NFL. If you're a Texans fan, aren't you kind of like tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over? And maybe that's going to...
You know what's funny? And the letter didn't go directly to me, but we got a letter here at the station. It was addressed to Lance, John, David Gow, and myself. And I forget what the guy's name was. And I told Todd I wanted to read the letter on air, but he didn't like that idea. So I just said, okay, whatever. I'll rehash what it says. But it's AJ is taking all the fun out of sports because all he does is tell us that the Houston teams are going to fail. And all he did was hate on the Rockets. Good. Hate on the Rockets.
That's true.
And there was no chance the Rockets were going to win. Well, and he said, well, guess what? Only one team wins every year, and we don't have LeBron James. Well, if that's your mentality, like, it's not me taking the fun out of sports. It's sports taking the fun out of sports, if that's the case. If you can't win without LeBron James, well, why does anybody else play? It's funny that LeBron James, all of his career, has three NBA titles. That means there's a lot of other teams that have been able to win, and the Rockets aren't one of them. So all you're mad about is me telling you what's happening. I get that it's not fun to hear, but the alternative is lying to you, and that's what happens at these other stations. Like 790 can't go on the day after the Rockets blow it again and say they should fire Daryl Morey, they should trade James Harden, this organization is a bunch of losers, they've got to do something different. You know why they can't do it? Because they're not allowed to. Because they're financially partnered with the Rockets. And the Rockets would be upset about that. You can ask Josh Ennis how they feel about him bad-mouthing the Rockets. We don't have to do that. We can just say what's real. And I'm sorry if what's real hurts your feelings. And then he's like, John and Lance, I've noticed more of you guys doing it. It's rubbing off on you guys. Don't let that happen. Stay positive. Like, it's one thing to be positive about things, but it's another thing to just blatantly lie about what we're seeing. Like, yeah, the Texans sucked week one. My guess is they're going to suck week two because they're playing the Ravens, who, and this may make you uncomfortable, letter writer person, the Ravens are a better team across the board than the Texans. They're literally probably better at every position on the field than the Texans. So, and not to mention coach and GM.
Maybe not left tackle if Stanley doesn't play this week.
Okay, I'll give you that. But their advantage at kicker is so great that it makes up for it. So it's not that I'm just trying to be negative. If the fact is Houston's just full of loser teams right now. The Astros, who were the one team that I've been able to be positive about for the last several years, are giving me nothing to be positive about right now.
Okay, but here's where what you say is why people think this, okay? You say Houston is nothing but loser teams right now. They're not losers. They're not champions. But you just had a team make it to the second round of the playoffs. That's not a loser.
Is that a prize?
Well, it's not a loser, though. That's the thing.
Yes, it is.
You know, okay, see, that
they didn't
and
meet the expectations that the fans put on them.
Well, but they met the expectations that we put on them. I thought that was as far
you're
as they
you're talking
admit.
About you and me. We're the ones being called pessimists. We're not fans.
But here's the thing, though.
Fans believe the Rockets were title contenders. There's no way you can look at this season and go, you know what? Yeah, Rockets, that they did exactly what I thought they'd do.
No, but that doesn't make them losers. See, I think it's that kind of phrasing that, well, seriously, man. I mean, he is right. Not only one team wins a championship. Are the Clippers losers, too?
Yes!
Okay.
And at least the Clippers went to a game 7. They didn't roll over and die.
To a team they were supposed to beat. Yeah, they did roll over and die. They were up 3-1. They both lost.
That's fair. At least they made a competitive series. The Rockets didn't even do that.
No, they didn't against a team they weren't supposed to beat. But that's the point, though. That's why people pull stuff like that out, is because, you know, oh, they suck, they're losers. Well, no, they really don't. They're just not. They're not champions. They're not great. And that's the whole problem. That's what I've been saying all along. You're stuck in this damn cycle of mediocrity, where you're just good enough to have a little bit of hope, but you're not good enough to ever win anything. And I think the hope is gone. And I think he's taking it out on you. But I do think that, you know, that's that kind of phrasing is why people think that about you.
I mean, it's true.
In your mind, yeah.
I'm saying it's true. What he thinks about me is true. I am negative about the Rockets, and I'm negative about, for the most part, about Houston sports, because Bill O'Brien's a dunce, and he's dragging, like, he's ruining this franchise with his GM moves. So, yeah,
And his coaching.
Well, less, yes, his coaching, too. But now, it's sad, because now I'm like, well, Bill O'Brien, the coach, is way more competent than Bill O'Brien, the GM. And that doesn't say much about Bill O'Brien, the coach. No. It mostly says that Bill O'Brien, the GM, is literally the worst GM in the National Football League. But if what this guy wants me to do is come on and say, Bill O'Brien did make a good move. He did, like, it was the right thing to do, getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, even though you didn't have to pay him for multiple years and he would still be here right now and you would be a better team. He did. That was a great move. But I'd be lying if I said that. It was a stupid bonehead move. So I'd rather be honest and be looked at as negative. It's not negativity. It's just honesty.
Yeah, I think honesty also has a. I think you can also be a little hyperbolic about your honesty, in that.
When's the last time I was wrong?
But let me ask you this. So if you don't win a championship, are you automatically a loser?
No.
Because
if you don't meet the expectations that your fan base
but see, fan base expectations are unrealistic. You know that.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. What fan base? Go ask Lions fan before the season. Hey, I think we can win 10 games.
Nobody thinks that.
Oh, yes, they do. There's reasonable fans. There's good fans. And then there's everybody else.
Okay.
There are fans out there who think
that
Texans...
Is it unreasonable to expect that the Rockets, who have two of the highest 5 paid players in the league, should make it past the second round of the playoffs? Am I crazy to think that that's a loser move, to have two of the top 5 paid players in the league and you can't get out of the second... You can't even be competitive in your second round series.
With no context, you're not wrong. With context, they played the best team in the conference. You're supposed to beat them?
Why did they do that?
Well, because they've
finished... they underperformed in the bubble. Well, because small ball doesn't work.
Well, we know all that.
But that's negative.
But it is... But again, I mean, it's negative,
but it's the truth.
But it's also without any context. Well, like playing the Lakers, and neither one. I thought they could win 2 games. They couldn't even do that.
So they underperformed your expectations, even.
Yeah, but
losers.
I just think that it's more. There's a lot. It's not losers. It's just mediocre, and it's not getting any better, and it's never going to get any better. It's never going to change, and. Every fan thinks more. Not every fan. I mean, there's some reasonable fans that have reasonable expectations. Hey, right? You know, I'll be happy if UH wins 8 games this year. That's a reasonable expectation.
And maybe here's why I'm so negative, because these franchises, and obviously I think Houston fans deserve better than what they get as sports fans. But if the Texans were the Lions, and I just went into every season knowing they were going to be garbage, or they were the Browns, I guess the Browns isn't a good example.
No, because everybody, people were picking them to go to the playoffs every year.
How about if they were the Jets? And I knew what they were going to be. I knew the Jets were going to be losers. It'd be better. It'd be better than like getting your hopes up. Like, oh, they drafted Deshaun Watson, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league, and then finding a way to ruin that. If I were, if the Knicks played here and I knew every year the Knicks were going to be garbage, it wouldn't be that big of a deal when they were garbage.
Yeah, see, that I don't quite get that. although, again, I'm the same guy who's season tickets for an 0-11 football team one year. So
well, there you go.
I just got drunk the whole time. But, yeah, I'd rather have a team that at least gives you some bit of hope, even if it's going to snatch it away from you, as opposed to a team that's never going to do anything. I feel bad for Browns fan, because Browns fan have been putting up a crap forever. And did you already just cut the music off, or should we have gone to break?
Yeah, we're supposed to go to break.
All right, let's just go to break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713, I want to know how the owners don't hear or feel the pulse of the fans and do something. O'Brien is a joke. Because they listen to the traveling Texans and these guys who are 6'10 honks.
Yeah.
Who, believe me, they're out there. There's a bunch of them. And, oh, they love O'Brien. Four division titles. AJ, I'm with you. Sounds like Fred likes participation awards. Because I think it's better to make the playoffs than to completely suck. Okay. Yeah, good take there. Yeah, I don't know.
See, Lamont said, you are so, I'm so FOS. I was wondering what that meant. Full of bleep. So you're saying if you knew you had a crappy team, you wouldn't clown as much. When the Astros were crap and everyone knew the reason they were crap, rebuild, this market still hammered them. Fall back. No, how about you fall back, Lamont? Because guess what? We didn't really talk Astros. No,
we didn't hammer them.
We just ignored them. That's what we did. Because there wasn't much to talk about. Were they a joke organization? Yes. But there was no passion about the Astros are such a bad franchise. We didn't even talk about them. Because it wasn't worth accepting. It wasn't worth discussing because we just accepted that that's what they were doing.
And everybody knew what they were doing. I mean, Crane said we're going to tear the whole thing down and try to build it and didn't know if it would work. But to be honest, nobody cared. We talked about this the other day. If you talked to Astros, you could hear the radios click off around the city.
Yep.
And you know, they're kind of what they... They're kind of getting back to that. But you know, nobody clowned the Astros. I think that's just revisionist history. Maybe somebody did. It wasn't here. I'm sure Polillo talked a lot about it because he's a big baseball guy. And I'm sure there were people who did talk about it. Ah, it's ridiculous.
If I remember right, I think Dave and Jerome had a countdown to how many losses until the Astros hit 100 after that first season. The next two seasons, they did that. But that was the only time they talked Astros.
Yeah.
They lost 89 games. They have 11 more to go.
There was never any emotion about it because there was no point in investing emotion in it. Like, and let's face it, Astros fans didn't have any invested emotion in it because they knew. Well, Rockets fans and Texans fans, I'll say every year for the last at least 10 years, have gone into the season emotionally invested in them and have been, at the end of the season, have been disappointed with the end results. So it's much different than a team like the Astros when, like 2013 Astros, when there was literally, you knew when the season started, there was no point in even like previewing the season or getting excited. Oh, it's a fresh year, because you knew what we basically had here was like the Detroit Tigers. It wasn't a good team. It was bad.
Well, you know what? And maybe this kind of gets a little bit to your point, because I thought at some point they would get better. But I preferred going to Astros games when they were that awful.
Well, because it was social distance.
It was social distance. I didn't have to wait in line for beer. And it was fun because it was like going to a Roughnecks game, really, because you just went for fun. It was entertainment.
Right.
and, you know, sit there and enjoy the game. And I used to get really good seats because a friend of mine had, like, first row behind the dugout. And, you know, that was fun. Then when they got good, going to games was not fun because that stadium is not built for full crowds. The concourse isn't, because you can't get around in there, especially on that first floor. Of course, remember when we used to have crowds?
Yeah,
I remember. But, I mean, the team was obviously better, but the game experience wasn't as much fun, at least for me. So, you know, I know you'd rather have a winning team than a team that completely sucks, and that's just the reality. So would I. But, you know, I think that was I think they're kind of going back towards that now. And I think the one time where I would have been a lot more critical, and I wasn't on air then, was at the end of the Drayton McClain era, when he just didn't care and he was just trying to sell the team off. And that you would have been a lot more critical of.
And Pablo says, AJ's or Fred's right. The way you word things, I can see why people see you as negative. I'm a Rockets fan, but I knew they didn't stand a chance against the Lakers. They got AD and LeBron. At the same time, I see AJ's point. They just gave up. Maybe people just get upset because you're blunt. And I think that's part of it, is I don't like try to sugarcoat what it is.
No, and I'm not saying you're wrong by any stretch. I was just trying to explain why people take everything.
But I mean,
say
can
negatively.
You even imagine someone writing my boss and saying AJ's too negative about sports match games?
You're too negative in general. You know what I would take that as? A compliment that somebody actually took the time to write a letter and send it off.
All right.
Unless it's somebody in prison, in which case that's our only option. And we do get letters from prisoners sometimes. But I really appreciate that somebody would take the time to write a letter about you and care enough to say something. See, that's me being positive. Is that so hard?
I guess not.
You don't have to do it on everything. I didn't get to my poo gem of the day, which is good because I need to ask AJ if it seems familiar, so I don't know if we did it as part of the Dumbass Report Monday. So, said he even licked the envelope. Yeah. Probably put the Rona on the envelope just for you.
I've got a great, I guess, a Twitter quote of someone about Texas on the other side of this.
Okay.
And a COVID-19 update.
So he said, I missed when the Astros sucked because me and the wife could catch it, the tail end of the game and see a $5 weekday game. Yeah, I mean, that used to be fun, man. You go buy $7 tickets and then nobody's there, so you walk down to the expensive ones.
And you could see first ballot Hall of Famers when they were coming to town, like Big Poppy, for $12. Whereas the Rockets have never been so bad when LeBron came to town, where you're still paying $90 to get in just the building.
Yeah, TH Town says, who the bleep would take the time to write a letter to a radio host? That's what I'm saying. It means you're special. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.